you are listening to another episode of the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the FLW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger and Mika Villas back. We took a 1 week hiatus so Tamika and I could prepare for our near death at Chattanooga, Tennessee for the two nights of the Cynic City Invitational. We survived that. We may or may not have made some bad decisions, but alas, we're all together again. And guys, it's time to talk about wrestling once again. Before I do, how are you all doing?
Doing good, you know, kicking. And you guys are still here after, yes, the festivities of the Scenic City Invitational weekend and hot dog eating contests and proms and those kind of things that make people have questionable decisions or something. I don't know. I don't know if is it one of those things. I don't think it's one of those things that like what happens at SCI stays at SCI,
because it's supposed to be.
You would think it's supposed to be, but the majority of people know each other only from Twitter, and that's like the one time a year they can actually see the people in real life. So it's going to be on Twitter. So I don't think there's a what happens there stays there, because it's what happens there stays on Twitter, I think, is kind of what's going to happen, what should be.
So just to give a glimpse, because I know, Danny, you weren't there, so you missed a lot of fun, but probably not a lot. I don't think you feel like you've missed out on a lot. But yeah, I can say some things, you know, like, my goodness, I have not seen so many wieners in one room at one time go into so many mouths, and it was interesting.
Yeah, that was the night before the hot dog eating contest, right? It was just a bunch of wieners going to mouths, and then on night two was the actual hot dog eating contest. Night one was the sausage fest, and night two was the hot dog eating contest.
Ba-dum-ba-dums.
There was the SCI prom.
That was a sausage fest, definitely. From any picture I saw, I think there were two women there, and they were both sitting down, and guys were in dresses dancing, and Nick Gage was questioning his life decisions.
Here's the thing. Like, me and good brother Jeremy, one of the co-promoters of the Making Towns Wrestling Company, we decided 30 minutes in, it wasn't for us. So we just walked out and was like, hey, I got a bottle of rum. Let's just have some drinks and banter for a while. Let the kids have prom. You know, there's a reason why I skipped my first prom.
So you left prom early to take a guy up to your room with a bottle of booze. That sounds like most people's proms, actually. Hey, we're going to ditch early. I got a bottle. Let's go to the hotel. You know, like I'm just saying that sounds like a typical prom experience for a lot of people.
God, he has such valid points.
Every once in a while, I go on the Twitter. Like you said, Danny, everybody's on Twitter, so everybody's sharing what's going on. And yet, it cracked me up when I see Nick Gage tweet about what he's seeing right now. And like, if Nick Gage, probably one of the more hardcore guys in pro wrestling and probably in real life, is questioning grown people dancing and singing karaoke in a conference room at a hotel in the middle of, outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, that's saying something. If it's too scary for Nick Gage, and the man's been in jail, right?
Exactly.
I was gonna say he's done and seen some things, and like, of all the things, he's sitting there watching this, going, "What the hell have I gotten myself associated with?" Like, he's questioning that is one of the greater regrets of his life. Like, that kind of lets you know that it's an unusual scene, man. And I get it. Like, a lot of people, it's yet again, like, these are people, they're friends, you know, people friends from around the country, you know. They're friends online, so this is one of the few times where they see each other, and everybody kind of gets crazy and gets silly and has fun, and that's cool and all. But yeah, it's not everybody's scene, and but that's okay. That's what pro wrestling is about. It creates it within the realm of professional wrestling. You can create a scene for every subculture of every subgroup of all the weirdos you know, we all have our own weird things, and we all find our own weird friends in the world of professional wrestling who like to do the same weird stuff we do. And Scenic City just happens to be one of those places.
It's starting to become a destination. I mean, we even had representation from Canada and the UK.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, I mean, it is, it's only, you know, this is the fourth year, correct?
Yes.
Fourth year for it? Yeah, so this was the fourth year for it. That, you know, it expanded to more than just the tournament itself. You know, now there's additional shows. There's the Rumble. There's the Trios tournament as well.
There was a future showcase as well. On the same one of the nights. So, you know, future stars. It has totally and completely expanded. It has gotten, I don't want to say wilder, but there's just so much fun to be had. If you get the chance, you definitely want to come out for SCI weekend. Whether you're a girl or guy, what have you, wrestling fans, come, they converge, they have fun, they eat, they drink, and they're merry as hell. So I don't want to go the same route as Patrick about wieners in my mouth because it sounds funny coming from me, but just know that it was a great time.
It sounded funny coming from Patrick too, okay?
Listen, of all people in the hot dog contest, Tamika was the one having the hardest time putting wieners in her mouth.
Because she had so many people watching her doing it, probably. Nobody wanted to watch you stick hot dogs in your mouth, Patrick. She was one of like two women in the room at the time. So if she's eating a hot dog, you have all these lonely gentlemen staring at an attractive woman eating hot dogs. Okay. Like that's why she probably was like, she felt the eyes on her and she's like, I question my life decisions. There you go. She was even questioning your life decisions.
And she was a last minute entrant. Too. That was the funniest thing.
Yeah, I was clearly drinking, and I said, "Hey, what's a girl got to do to get a hot dog in her mouth?" And damn it, my question got answered.
That's the wrong question to ask in a room full of lonely guys, though.
No,
what's a girl got to do to get a hot dog in her mouth? Okay,
worse, like, I did it on Twitter, and there was a whole DM exchange. It was even worse.
There probably were quite a lot of DM exchanges. It probably wasn't just one. A lot of people. They're like, hey, you know, Adult Friend Finder is a cool place. Like, we can, you don't have to go on Twitter, okay?
Now, speaking about drinking a lot, I'm very upset because as much as I drank and for the most part on a somewhat empty stomach, I was even having, I couldn't even get a buzz all weekend long. I'm not sure why. I mean, not that I'm like trying to get drunk or anything, right? But at least I want to feel like I'm drinking, right?
Maybe you were. I don't know. Was it sometimes with drinking, like it, if you space it out, or if it's warm and you're kind of sweating a lot, like you sweat it out. I don't know. There's
a science to it.
Yeah, there's an unusual science. Like sometimes you can have the same amount of booze, but if you have it like. With eating or without eating, you can get more or less drunk depending on that. Like, oh, if I eat it with food and space this drinking out over an hour, sometimes you feel it more than if you're doing shots. Or it's just...
Maybe I'll do like I did in Orlando a few years ago and add the pills to it and see if that helps out a little better.
That's what killed Hendrix. So I don't know if I would recommend that. To each their own, man. It's, some people call it a party. Some people call it the 27 Club. So I don't know what you want to do.
Well, I survived Orlando with that thing, Lord.
That is true.
That got me through it because, Tamika knows how bad, in what type of shape I was coming off my surgery a week earlier than that. I couldn't drive. I couldn't... carry heavy bags. I was walking slow, moving slow. So yeah, I needed handlers. I had two. I'm not gonna mention the two handlers I had for political reasons. But it was something. But you know what? The pills and booze, it got me through it, and it was fun. But yeah, so City Invitational, fourth year in a row that I've been in attendance. Fantastic time. I know, Danny, you weren't there, so we're not going to be talking a lot about it, but I would just say, you know, Joey Lynch, this was his year. He won it. He had great matches with first in the first round against Curt Stallion. That opened the show of the weekends. That opened up all the, I'll let that out. And then on the second round, the semifinals, you know, he wrestled PCO, which was fantastic. I thought he told a great story. And the fact that Joey needed like 6 or 7 moonsaults to be able to defeat PCO, fantastic way to get that. And of course, then you get the finals, Joey Lynch over Corey Hollis, Gary J, and Fred Yehi. To me, it's been a fantastic story for Joey here winning, because we go from let's remember the very first match in the history of the CDC Invitational was Joey Lynch versus Corey Hollis. Of course, Corey Hollis wins that one, and Joey Lynch is eliminated. That's 2015. 2016, Joey this time makes it to the second round, and then he gets eliminated by Gunnar Miller. And then in 2017, Joey Lynch actually makes the finals, but then loses to Matt Riddle, who won the tournament last year. So, you know, a story was there. You know, he started, you know, and got his way up to be able to win this whole thing. So, and not only that, but being that the man he pinned to actually win the thing was Corey Hollis, the man that defeated him in 2015 to eliminate him from the first round, I think a great story to be told. And Joe Lynch definitely been a breakout star in the last couple of years. Very happy for him to be able to, and then be able to bring his son to the ring and be able to pose with him and his belt and the trophy. It was very emotional and very happy. Very well deserved. Everybody should check it out when it comes available on Powerbomb TV. Definitely a fun night, fun weekend for us. And definitely, I will be there next year, and I will be there this November 17th, at a high school to be determined at a later date for the Cindy City Trios tournament. So that's going to be a fun night of wrestling as well. But alas, let's talk about the other tournament that's been on the news, and that is the second Mae Young Classic. It actually just kicked off this week. And of course, I'm trying to stay spoiler-free as much as I can. You know, Twitter may or may not have spoiled a couple of things for me, but I'm trying to not find out everything, so... let's just go over all of the participants of the tournament, because I know that we haven't really talked about it much on the podcast. So here we go. We got Caitlyn, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Nicole Matthews, Ginny, Casey Cantazaro, Diona Perrazzo, Tegan Knox, Reina Gonzalez, Tainari Conti, Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, Kavita Devi. Devi, Killer Kelly, Suxi, Isla Dawn, Lacey Lane, Karen Q, Tony Storm, Meiko Satomura, Ashley Rain, Priscilla Kelly, Zia Brookside, Hiroyo Matsumoto, Ariel Monroe, Vanessa Craven, Allison Kay, Zia Lee, Rachel Evers, MJ Jenkins, and Zatara.
There's a whole lot of names in there that I think this year, I mean, I've been talking with other people that the field seemed more stacked than last year. You know, last year, I think you had a lot of people that were through the Performance Center, you know, some of which were having their very first match as part of the Mae Young Classic, where it seems that this year they went more throughout the American indies as well as the international scene, and not merely through the Performance Center. So you have, you know, your fair share of seasoned indie veterans. Of, you know, you have a long tenured veteran like Meiko Satomura, who's you know, been long considered for as one of the best pound for pound in the world. You know, making her debut there along with Io Shirai, who everybody was, you know, they talked of, she was supposed to have been signed last year around this time to WWE, and things fell through, and now here she is. But you also have people who've made appearances on various NXT programming in Rachel Evers, in Deonna Purrazzo. You know, Mercedes Martinez was in last year's tournament. Mia Yim was in last year's tournament, but they're making the return. You have, you know, the 19-year-old prodigy, Zaya Brookside, daughter of Robbie Brookside, NXT trainer. You know, so a lot of different names from a lot of different places, and it just, you know, people that coming off the injured list to come kind of make their return there. Just seems like it's a lot of big names and hopefully produce a lot of really good matches. And, you know, I mean, I would assume some people will get signed based off this, as that's what we saw with the you know, the Cruiserweight Classic as well as the first Mae Young Classic. I think, you know, it's for some people, it's kind of a, hey, here you are, like, let's give you a little more shine and kind of show you respect. Others, I think it's, okay, we want to take a long, serious look at you and see if you can, you know, if you could get over with our crowd, if you can hang and do what we, you know, what, and maybe we can use you, as opposed to just having to look at somebody in a performance and a tryouts that are, you know, mostly just fitness based. So I think it's a really interesting mix, and I'm just very excited to see. I think that they announced that the first, you know, first set of shows would drop on the network on September 5th. You know, and I'm guessing that, well, they did admit, you know, that the finals will be part of the Evolution show, the all women's WWE show. So, you know, there a lot's happening. We have friends that are down there watching it now. Yet again, like you guys, I'm trying to stay as spoiler free as I can. I know it's, you know, bound to happen, especially that we're now looking at least, you know, almost a full month before some of this stuff hits TV that spoilers are going to drape around. But I, you know, very excited to see once these matches drop. I'm already hearing good things.
Yeah, I didn't want to say spoiler free. I was too excited, and maybe that's just the girly in me coming out, because I was excited for the people that we know, the Priscilla Kellys, the Isla Dawns, Ariel Monroe, just people, Allison Kay. We don't know her, would like to know her, but just people who we know to be just good people and great workers, great entertainers. To watch and to see what they bring to the table in this second round of classics, I wanted to know. So I told people, tell me everything. And yes, it sounds like this year, not just on paper and just on, you know, the introductions or whatever, but this year the field was definitely stacked more. There was a broad variety of women, styles, cultures, and just everything to add to the diversity that is women's wrestling. To hear about how these girls just really, not even hear about it, but to see it. I watched live on YouTube as they introduced the ladies there, and you could sense the excitement in each one of them, even in the crowd. The ovations for favorites like Toni Storm. Mercedes got a huge reaction from the crowd as well as Mia Yim. So I was thinking about staying spoiler free, but this was just too important for, I think, women, especially to have a forefront in the WWE as far as wrestling goes, again, for me just to kind of sit back. let's talk about the anchors, about the commentators. Beth Phoenix and Renee Young is finally doing something other than, you know, backstage or side reporting. I was very, very happy to see that WWE was finally utilizing her to the point where this Monday coming up, she is going to be the first time ever a woman is going to commentate Raw. She's going to take Coach's spot as Coach's on assignment, you know. So it's just huge that opportunities are coming in big ways and little ways, and that the WWE is really trying to push this, not just their Evolution pay-per-view for all women, but just to grab hold of this huge spotlight that is women's wrestling that has been for a while now, to finally put it and give it its proper shine, no pun intended.
Definitely. I think that it's really exciting to be able to get see women being highlighted in, you know, we've seen them in different places. You know, of course, there's Stardom in Japan. There's Shine Shimmer here in the U.S., a few other smaller promotions. And then, of course, a lot of intergender wrestling. But it's good to really see WWE embrace that and feature the women, you know, with the all-women cast pay-per-view for the first time. And like you said, you know, Renee Young doing what we know she can do in the commentary and having their own shows. It's just a great way to utilize women, because women can do anything men can, and it's, you know, they're no longer just good enough to be valets or hold a sign or try to sell merch, but they can do more than that, and I love it. And you know, we're coming down to October and Evolution's gonna be a big show. We're gonna see so many women get a chance to participate in this show, and you know, we're gonna see championships being defended, and we're gonna see a new Mae Young Classic winner. So that's gonna be awesome. Can't wait. It's gonna be great. And yeah, it sucks that we have to wait some time to see it, but all I hear from this Mae Young Classic, just from the tweets, is how great it's been. So I can't wait to watch it. You know, of course, yeah, like you guys said, Danny's like, you know, the talent's great, it's packed, and some people that we know. So homegrown stars from here in Atlanta. So I can't wait to just see how it all comes about and who makes it to the finals. So speaking of WWE with, you know, the women's show, well, the big show for the summer, SummerSlam TakeOver Brooklyn, they're shaping up. And this past Wednesday on NXT, it was made official. The main event for NXT TakeOver would be Tommaso Ciampa defending the NXT Championship versus Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black. But that's all changed because Aleister Black suffered an injury in a house show, in a live event, and he's going to be medically unable to compete. So at TakeOver, it's now official again. Ciampa, Gargano, one more time. And this time for the NXT Championship.
Didn't we call this, like, the last time they fought, Connor?
I've been talking about this happening for a long time, and I've been a big proponent of not wanting to see it, especially for the title, and I don't think it was going to happen. It was going to be the three-way, but you know, I guess the wrestling gods decided that they were going to have their one-on-one match, and sucks for Black because, you know, he's the up and out. I think he was going to be the up and out regardless because of the how big and huge dispute is between Ciampa and Gargano. That, like I said many times, it does not need the title. But yeah, we've been talking about this all year long.
Well, the best part of this whole thing is Hideo Itami retweeted WWE.com where they said, like, you know, Aleister Black was possibly attacked in the parking lot at Full Sail. Hideo Itami just retweets it and says that parking lot's a dangerous place. Because as anybody who would remember, Hideo Itami was mysteriously attacked and injured in the parking lot, removing him from NXT television when he had to have his surgery. And there was never any, it took so long for him to recover and come back because he had an injury and then he had a setback, another injury training, that by the time he came back, they just decided, okay, you know, like it seemed that they were setting this up to where maybe it would be a feud when he returned. You know, they only expected him to be out a couple months. But then he had complications and setbacks, another injury, and he was gone a very long time. And so there was never any payoff to it. He just got jumped in the parking lot and hurt and put on the shelf. And the story was as forgotten about as Vince McMahon dying in a limousine. You know, and so.
Always remember, yeah, Vince died for our sins in that limo, okay?
Yep, in 2012, yeah. And he hasn't been heard from since. You know, there's nobody knows what happened to him. That limousine exploded, and then something about him falling on a stage, and you know, nobody, yeah. So that's the biggest highlight. But it seems that they were going to do, you know, the three-way match at TakeOver, but now I guess they're. It seems that they were going to, it's not only going to do it for the championship, but they were going to be an additional stipulation, possibly last man standing, I think is something that I heard mentioned, that they may do last man standing, or they may, you know, do another, I mean, cause they already, your first match is unsanctioned. It's kind of like, where do you go from there? You know, now suddenly the company decides, okay, you guys beat the ever living tar of each other, but neither of you died, so now you can have it within a sanction, you know, wrestling rules and wrestling event. When they did their second one, you know, and now the third one, they're like, okay, cool, we'll put it for the championship, you know, we'll sanction this one, even though we've seen the damage that you guys can do to each other. It doesn't necessarily need the championship. I think they also could have separated them and done things in between. And yet again, Patrick and I kind of talked about it some off and on. But, you know, this is kind of the biggest NXT show of the year. So they wanted to have their biggest feud of the year there. And, you know, your feud has to move up the card because it's already main evented the show over the championship twice. So they wanted to make it for the championship. When, you know, they're 1-1, this is the rubber match. Yeah, I mean, it'll be a fantastic match, it will, but it's at the same time, it seems like it's, you know, I would have preferred them to wait to maybe have separate feuds aside from each other before coming back to this.
Well, you know, I mean, they do need to wrap it up. I mean, they need to eventually move up to the main roster, because even though let's just say that their level in which they will be, you know, looked at and treated as a main eventer on NXT may not necessarily be the way that they are in the main roster. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm just going by
the past few champions who have gone up: Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre, even Andrade.
Shoot, look up Bo Dallas.
Yeah, well, there you go. Bo Dallas, but Big E Langston, you know, I mean, like, the former NXT champions who were not given the same singles main event level treatment that they received in NXT. So we'll see if either of these guys get that. I mean, and I get that you have to kind of do one and separate them, but you can still revisit the feud once you get up to the main roster.
That'll happen because nothing happens in outside of the main roster that the WWE counts. You know, like, oh, he was an NXT champion, but when you move to the main roster, that means nothing. I mean, literally, they just wipe out every accomplishment that you had that is not on Monday or Tuesday nights.
I mean, NXT is a developmental program, so.
Yeah, it's just developmental. It's not really that important. You don't really need to pay attention to it.
Exactly. So with that said, you know, even though they may not be the main guys on the, when they get to the main roster, at least they'll be getting main roster money. You know, and that big WrestleMania payday, if they end up being in, you know, a cruiserweight match and they're in 205 Live, or the Andrew the Battle, the Giant Battle Royal. So, I mean, there's something. I mean, you get to be highlighted more on NXT, but, you know, you don't get main roster money. And that carries a lot. So, moving on to SummerSlam, it's official. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz was like 2+ years in the making here.
It's honestly been a lot longer than that, because The Miz was Daniel Bryan's pro when Daniel Bryan debuted on the first season of NXT, back when it was still the reality competition series. So it's been a lot longer than that, because that was Daniel Bryan's first feud was against The Miz for, at the time, the United States Championship. But this one-on-one match spanning from the War of Words since Daniel Bryan retired is what's 2 years in the making. But honestly, this feud has been around since Daniel Bryan debuted in WWE on the main roster. You know, not his dark matches and such in 2001 and 2003 and stuff really don't count. But The Miz has been constantly the thorn in his side. His antithesis, if you will.
That's true. I mean, but this one has been, this is such a build. I mean, back when they started this whole deal, when Miz was the quote unquote pro, Daniel Bryan was new to the WWE audience. There weren't a lot of people who knew what talent he had. And now they're both upper echelon superstars. And The Miz is, as he has been for so long, one of the top, if not the top heels in the company. So everything he does is just so magically malicious and evil and calculated and built to just get you bought into this whole Miz character. And the whole, you know, them finally coming together to trade blows after Miz is a father, Daniel's a father, the fake baby incident. I mean, SummerSlam didn't seem as huge a deal as it has in previous years, as far as my viewership and my excitement for it has gone. But that has at least kept me hooked, lined, and sinkered into it to see these two go at it. I'm really excited for that.
I mean, Miz is just pretty good at convincing people that he's like The Miz is Mizanin is probably a really nice guy. You know, and the reality show is going to kill any semblance of a character that he ever hoped to have, because it's now going to make people think he's a nice guy and they're not going to want to boo him when they're supposed to at the wrestling events. But he's pretty good at convincing you that he's a douchebag that you want to see get his face punched in. And I think that's the biggest thing that's been keeping this going is because, you know, Daniel, like I said, their characters are kind of the antis of each other. Daniel Bryan's, you know, the thing is, neither guy is, you know, supposed to be a guy who was ever going to get there and ever going to make it. But they've kind of taken different paths. Daniel Bryan's been, you know, the hard work and the fight, you know, the everyman fight from beneath, where Miz has taken to letting his mouth do so much more and get him places and, you know, politicking, so to speak, and big shotting it and going to, you know, trying to do the Hollywood lifestyle and going and doing all these things, where Daniel Bryan's been in the gym and in the ring, is how he's gained and earned what he has in wrestling. So neither is a guy who, you know, people would have seen as somebody who would get there and thrive like they would in World Wrestling Entertainment, but they've taken different paths to do such. And so I think that's where they're kind of the yin and the yang of each other. Like, because especially with Daniel Bryan coming in, you know, under the tutelage of The Miz, despite the, you know, the whole big thing was, he's like, Miz, you've only been wrestling a few years. Like, I've been wrestling for 10 years. Like, don't don't act like you know so much more to me. And then Miz is like, but you haven't been doing it here. You don't know how it works here. And, you know, like, that was the start of it. And it's been that way as they, as they've done what they've done to get them to different paths. So they're always going to be this kind of yin and yang of each other. And it just makes for really good storytelling. And yeah, the build, you know, of this to this first fight at SummerSlam is going to get a lot of people excited. Now by November, we're going to be sick of it because these guys will have fought 15 times. You know, they'll have fought, you know, Hell in a Cell in October and, you know, they'll have some kind of other matches and all this, but the feud's going to continue. So eventually we will get burnt out on it, and it's going to happen again at WrestleMania, and if not as many people would care then. But this first big match that's billed and the long path it took to get there has helped make SummerSlam, although it has its star power and et cetera with Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar and, you know, your championships and et cetera, et cetera. This is the long form storytelling match that I think has a lot of us really excited to see what they can do once the bell rings.
Yeah, I can't wait. Of course, I love The Miz. I've been a big fan since his days from the Real World. And of course, Daniel Bryan is one of my favorite wrestlers of all times. And like, you know, they've done a great way to build this feud, even if by accident with the Talking Smack segment, as you know, but then Daniel was retired and there was not going to be a match, but man, just seeing how they've made it work. They know, hey, there's money in this match. We got to get it done. And you know, it doesn't matter what people can say about how Daniel's been booked since he's returned. I mean, but it's not supposed to be like right away do all these things that you want to do. It's just like, let him get his legs back. You know what I mean? He needs to get back into that rhythm. He's been gone for a couple of years, and even longer if you count the on and off years. So it's fine. You know, it's not like he had to job to Cassidy, Big Cass. You know, he won that feud, beat him every single time. So now we get into the big match with Miz, and then eventually we'll see all the other matches. We've already got a taste of Bryan and Styles, and there's more. As long as he resigns his contract with WWE, which there's absolutely no reason not to, you know, they want him. He wants to make money and have the security for his family. You know, I mean, he could do other stuff, but I mean, he doesn't need to. It's not like he's unhappy with his character or how he's been booked and he wants to go out and do his own thing, like, you know, other people may have done. You know, unlike Bullet Club, Daniel Bryan in WWE is fine. Now, who is not fine is a couple of guys in Chicago. Friendship, apparently, lawsuits can affect them. As the winners of the lawsuit against the WWE doctor, Colt Cabana and CM Punk will be going to court again, as Cabana has sued Punk because Punk apparently refused to pay half of the legal fees for their trial. And so, yeah, so now Colt Cabana is suing Punk for $1.2 million.
This is really just a setup of an angle. So when they finally fight each other in the ring and Punk makes return at All In 2019, mm-hmm. You know, that's you know, with Colt Cabana as the underdog babyface, yeah, the half of the legal fees as well as the legal fees from the current legal proceedings is what'll be dangling in the bag above the ring.
So is it gonna be like the indie version of Money in the Bank, There's actually going to be money in the briefcase. Whoever wins the match gets the money for the briefcase.
No, it's going to be like it was in the old days when they, you know, and such, and they're going to hang $10,000, quote unquote, $10,000, you know, to the winner for a ladder match. You know, I saw Dusty Rhodes have a match like that at some point in time. It's supposed to be, you know, the money put up by the, you know, whomever. But yeah, the winner got, you know, the $5,000 or the $10,000 or whatever. And you were supposed to, and the fans were supposed to cheer for their favorite wrestler getting a lot of money versus the bad guys getting a lot of money. So they're going to try to bring that back, you know, no championships, just cold, hard cash.
Oh my God. It's a mess. It's a hot mess. Like CM Punk is notorious for being,
Dick. You can say a dick. Okay. You can say he's kind of a dick.
He's kind of he's kind of frugal as well, and I just wonder if, I mean, this story is kind of fresh out, you know, I think it came out today, so I'm wondering if maybe, just maybe, there are some misunderstandings, or is there something more going on there that we don't know about? Punk and Gambana have been friends for, gosh, longer than some people who listen to this show have been alive, so friends fighting over money, it just... especially these friends fighting over money. I don't think Cabana has $1.2 million to pay whatever these legal fees are. I'm pretty sure there was no agreement saying, hey, you know, hook us up on the fees or whatever. So hopefully this gets resolved, because this is not how we do things in Chicago. You know, we like to fight it out. We like to duke it out, handle our business in private if necessary. So maybe they will fight in the ring and we'll call it a day and not have to worry about CM Punk and his ex-best friend and their money problems.
It's a work, brother. I'm telling you, it's pro wrestling. Everything's a work.
It's a shooty work.
No, it's just a work, but sometimes you gotta make it look more like a shoot.
Mm. So is Cabana going to talk about his wife next? And then, you know, because I'm just saying. We're going to angle. Throw AJ in the mix, too.
CM Punk ain't going to be a guest on Cabana's podcast anymore.
Highest rated podcast of all time. But, yeah, he might have worn out his welcome there, audibly speaking. That's right. I said it.
They broke the internet, and that was the first time the internet really, truly broke. You know, all other times have just been imitating. So they're now looking to do the same, you know, bring it back to the ring one more time, sell a shit ton of tickets and for making people think these guys really hate each other. It's a long form work. Like I said, all in 2019 main event, you know, Scott Colton versus Phil Brooks in $1.2 million on a pole match.
This is what I'm saying. If Kenny Omega, the Bucks, they sign with WWE and can do this, the G1 Supercard at the Ring of Honor is putting Madison Square Garden, there's your backup plan. Don't wait for All In. Get Colt Cabana and CM Punk, Madison Square Garden. You need big matches to combat the WWE that weekend. All right, they're already running the Garden, which is the most expensive place to run a pay per view or TV, which is why WWE only does house shows there. So, and they're going head to head with Takeover. Come on. They need to go big or go home.
So that means that the winner's purse would truly be more than $1.2 million, because to get Punk to do it, I think there would have to be at least double that.
Yeah, I don't know if Ring of Honor would be, you know, if New Japan would be willing to put up that much money for Ring of Honor to get him.
It'd have to be American dollars too, not yen.
So, well, we're talking about All In. So All In is officially going to be on iPay-per-view as Fight TV is going to be airing the show on pay-per-view, I believe, for what, like $30 or $40, somewhere in that range. And they're also going to have a special one-hour piece of the show called 01 Hour or whatever. That's going to be on cable on WGN TV. So that 1 hour is going to be on WGN, then the rest of the pay-per-view on Fight for a bunch of money.
Back in the day, they used to call that little segment the free-for-all. And they just run down all the feuds and maybe give you a squash match.
Yeah, that I think that's where they're having that the battle royal with all the people that they're bringing in that they don't have anything important to do for.
I think that's the we're over our budget battle royal because they have a lot of big indie names in this thing. And
they also have Moose.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, over our budget battle royal will be on WGN. WGN is a Chicago local station that is apparently nationwide, which is awesome because, you know, look.
They're TBS, basically. What TBS was in the 80s and 90s. WGN became in the late 90s where it was basically a local affiliate, but it's on most cable providers. You know,
that's because Chicago rules. That's why
Chicago sucks. Is the TBS? Whoa,
hold your. We're sending you back. You're not American anymore. We'll strip you of all rights.
Well, no.
There is a reason why every time I go to Chicago for a show, I'm on the first flight out of Chicago. Okay.
Well, here's the bigger thing. If you love Chicago so much, why are you not still living there?
That's right.
If Chicago's that awesome, why aren't you there? If there was one thing, I'm not there now. Because I can see the video of you in your apartment, and I've been into your apartment. Okay?
could be a clone. I mean, there's green screens.
No, but I'm just saying. If there was one place that I said is the greatest place in the world, and I would fight to defend it, I'd pretty much be there. Like that's the thing. Like I'd be there even if I had to live in a box. Okay. And so if Chicago truly is the greatest city in the world, et cetera, why aren't you there? What makes wherever you're at now better than where you could be?
Oh no, I never said this was better. Chicago is always home. Let me put it like this. I voted in every election. I still get mail. I still have an address. Chicago's home. It is the best city in the world. Bar none, point blank. Anybody who doesn't agree can, you know.
So you didn't answer the question though. Because if it's that awesome, why aren't you there? If it's better than everywhere else in the entirety of the universe, why be anywhere else?
I'm spreading my Chicago love throughout the world. I'm an ambassador for my city. Everywhere I go. There you go.
No, that's not an acceptable answer still.
Yeah, I don't think we buy that.
Excuse us? Oh, whatever.
Yeah, that sounds like you're fluffing for political reasons, okay? That's like, yeah, that is a great question, and thank you for asking it. And it is great that we live in America, a country so free, that you are allowed to ask those kind of questions in such a public forum like that. Can we go ahead and give a round of applause for America and for you for being able to answer that question? Thank you very much. On to the next question. You know, like that's kind of how that answer felt. Okay. It was a fluff answer. You didn't really answer the question. You just said some stuff.
Have you not heard about the Chicago political machine as well as our gangsters? That's pretty much where it went. I don't want to kill either of you two. So I went the political route. Now moving on. Go ahead.
I don't think there are. You don't really hear much about gangsters in Chicago now, like you did in the 40s, and then Kevin Costner and Sean Connery killed them all, and so there aren't any anymore in Chicago.
There is a phrase that you may or may not have heard: "Real gangsters move in silence. They're not supposed to advertise. It just is what it is."
Or they're just really bad at marketing.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Yeah, your business. People got to know who you are to know you. You know. Yeah.
That's right. They should have a sign that says, "We'll kill and steal for money."
Yeah. People who need to know, know. The rest of you, keep in the dark for a reason.
All right, so then what are you into?
Let me just go ahead and incriminate myself on this public forum. No, thank you. Nick Gage has been to jail. I don't need to go there. I got people for that.
They'll catch you on tax evasion. Okay. Because you openly admitted that you have addresses and receive mail from here. And I know for a fact that you still hold addresses at many other residences. I don't imagine you're paying all the proper taxes in all the individual states that you live.
That's right. And all the income taxes, the state taxes, because you got to pay all the states you are a resident of.
And that's why, boys, there is more than one name. All right. More than one social. I mean, are we not talking wrestling right now? Why are we all about my business, huh?
This is why Mika Villas has 3 or 4 different Facebook profiles.
That's why Mika Villas is a place in Italy, or actually Crete, I believe it is. A nice resort, but go ahead.
So that's where she's hiding all her money.
Yeah, I guess.
When the cops come looking for you and you disappear, you'll be out in the villa.
They're gonna have to go to the Mediterranean. We know you're in the Mediterranean.
Now I gotta kill you guys. See, at one point.
Now it makes sense where she would always call herself Switzerland, because that's where her money is.
That's where her money is being laundered through. That's it. Yep.
Now it all makes sense now.
Swiss bank accounts and all that stuff. Yeah.
So you've been giving us clues. We'd be totally like...
A better way to hide the truth than right in your face. The truth was were there all along. You just didn't see it.
You know what else we didn't see? We haven't seen Lucha Underground since it came out. Well, okay, I lie. I watched every episode. You guys haven't.
No, I haven't. I watched season 3. They put seasons 1 and 2 on the Netflix, and then season 3 happened. And then by the time season 4 started, I think I was one of a lot of people that were saying, okay, now season 3 is going to hit Netflix, because, yes, you can go on, you know, for the people that don't have El Rey, you can go on iTunes and purchase a season. Buying a TV show on iTunes is ridiculous. So people don't really do that. It's there, it's out there, and I hear great things and see great things on the Twitters. I honestly don't know what's going on in the series right now.
Well, I'm not gonna spoil anything. I mean, some of the stories have been good, and I like kinda like where they're going. I definitely have to watch the show on mute because I can't stand Stryker and Vampiro in it. But I will say this. This last episode, this week, they did a angle where at the end of the show, Morrison proposed to Taya. Of course, this was filmed before they got married, so...
Yeah, well, the real people are married, not the characters, so now their characters are getting married, yeah.
But now I'm sure that they'll do the wedding angle, where they'll do, like... They may even do the real wedding, which I don't think they really can, because... Some of the guests are in WWE, so I don't really think they can. So we may see a fake wedding. They did play the Macho Man Randy Savage song at the end of it.
Yeah, so they'll do a wrestling wedding that'll turn into an angle. Like you do in the wrestling. I can't think of any one professional wrestling wedding, you know, apart from Macho Man and Liz that went off without a hitch, without any kind of hiccups, without anybody coming in trying to start a brawl or steal the bride. So, you know, I assume that it's not going to go as smoothly as the husband and groom would like it to.
It's definitely been quite an interesting thing, but I guess we are going to see Wedding Bells and the Lucha Underground. But yeah, it's been a fun season so far. I believe they're a few episodes in.
They are in a temple, so, you know.
They're not in a temple. They're in a different. They're in a different location.
Oh, they moved from the temple.
Yeah, something happened and compromised the temple, so they're now in another facility.
Oh well, never mind then.
They're not in the temple. They're in a form. What used to be it was like a cold storage.
Yeah, but I mean, they still call it a temple, but it's not the same location. And you can tell it looks a little different. I mean, they've done their best to make it look the same, but you can tell it's a few different things.
Well, they've done things also to let you know that it's different. Like, this season reflects the fact that where they're in is cold and dark versus just kind of greasy and dirty like the former place was. Apparently, they use blue filters on the camera a lot to kind of give it that darker kind of just feel downtone feeling. But that's the wonderful things that they do in Lucha Underground for their storytelling is the location where everything happens is as much a character as anybody.
So yeah. So anybody's getting a chance to check out Lucha Underground on El Rey, like Danny said, iTunes or wherever else you can find it. It's available on the interwebs. Just, you know, Google it. You look hard enough, you'll find it.
We're not saying steal. We're just saying watch it.
So with that, man, we got, you know, August. We got a lot of August wrestling. We got SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver, and a few things that we'll be chatting about in the next couple of weeks. I'm excited. Summer's almost over. Then we got the fall, and then we got the end of the year, and then we got 2019, and then I can go to Peru again. So a lot to look forward to, including another episode of the Fans of Wrestling show next week. So make sure that you subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, and Google Play. Check us out on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.